Welcome to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. Let's get today's show started with your host and founder of the BD Academy, Rob Brown.
Welcome to the show, and I'm thrilled to have with me today Helen Pretty. Hello to you, Helen.
Hi, Rob.
Helen, great to have you on the show. And for people that may not have come across you, just tell us a bit about your background and your expertise.
I am a CIMA qualified accountant and an accounting coach. So I help and support and coach qualifying accountants to successfully pass their exams. I qualified 6 years ago, and it took me 5 years to qualify. I didn't pass some of my exams first time, and I know it's a tough emotional accounting journey. I call it like an emotional roller coaster. Once I qualified, I joined the official mentoring program for CIMA. I've been mentoring qualifying accountants for the last 6 years. I set up my business last year to help and support more qualifying accountants.
Not many people know this, but when I finished my A-levels, I started an accountancy degree and took the first year of that. So it gave me a diploma in accounting. Then I had the decision to carry on with the degree and take all the exams and everything else. And I just felt that I wasn't quite cut out to be an accountant. So how hard or easy is it, do you feel, to become an accountant these days?
I think it's tough, but it's so rewarding. More people start these qualifications and never finish them. And that's what I really want, to help and support more people, qualifying accountants, to finish what they started, get those letters, get the rewards that are so amazing. It is really tough, and the pass marks aren't very high. You know, these aren't GCSE style exams. I kind of class them as master levels. So working full time and having the balance of work life, social life, study life.
Do you feel, Helen, that it's harder now to pass accounting qualifications than it was, say, a few years ago? Or has it always been tough?
No, I think it's always been tough. Yeah, the clients I've had this past year, it's the same emotional rollercoaster. It's the same feelings.
Do we know much about how many accountants are qualifying and coming into the profession these days? Are those numbers higher than before, or where are we at?
I don't have any stats. Some of the accounting bodies have changed their methods of exams, so right, you can take them, see them more frequently than you used to. When I sat my exams, you just take them twice a year. So they're encouraging more, and they've set up, they've revisited the exam questions to help and support more.
Why do you feel mentoring is so important when it comes to coaching people to pass exams? Because that's your role, isn't it? You help get them through this.
Yeah, so I say you guys bring the resources like a study tech, and that teaches you the syllabus. And what I do is coach you and support you to add that together with exam techniques to actually pass the exam.
And without these techniques, this coaching, presumably these would-be accountants are all on their own.
Yeah, you can definitely self-study. There's obviously lots of tuition options out there, but there's not very many coaching options. So you do a lot of study on your own. You have to be independent and motivate yourself and focus on what you need to do by yourself and manage your time.
So the journey that a would-be accountant goes through, from deciding they want to be an accountant up to the day that they qualify, just describe that a little bit for us, Helen.
My journey was when I grew up, when someone said to me, what do you want to be when you're older? And I said, I want to be an accountant. So I took an academic route and got my business studies degree. And I always knew I wanted to be an accountant and to do my CIMA. So that was a good motivator for me, just like a life goal. The journey was harder than I thought. It was longer than I wanted it to be because of my failures and my resit. And the balance of studying and working at the same time is definitely a balance which I didn't manage sometimes. And I know a lot of other people can't manage it and balance it in different ways. That takes up a lot of emotional space.
What choices do accountants have in deciding which qualifications to take? Because there's different associations, governing bodies, isn't there?
Yeah, there's, if you don't do a degree, you can do your AAT. And then there's maybe the more senior ones, CIMA, ACCA, and a few others. I think there's a limited choice, but I haven't found enough resources to really help teach you what's the difference. I get asked that a lot of questions. What's the difference? Which one should I choose and why? I get asked that quite a lot.
And presumably all of these associations that run the qualifications will be promoting theirs over all the others.
Yeah, definitely. There's obviously a competition in that area, but there is unique differences between CIMA and ACCA.
How much has the content changed? Because you would think double entry bookkeeping now is so irrelevant, given that you can push a button and get some automation to do it pretty quickly?
I think the theory is still the same. The accounting standards have developed and probably doubled with more and more legislation. But I would say the theory is the same, and you can't do the practice at work unless you understand the theory. That's what makes a great accountant, being able to do both together and understanding why the report's coming out like that. If you don't have the theory, you don't really understand the why.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you felt made a good accountant great, because there are lots of good accountants out there, but what do you feel takes them to the next level and makes them great?
Being able to and wanting to add value to their business, adding value to their company and their career, asking the questions, challenging and being that internal auditor, even if that's not your job title. We're responsible qualified accountants and that's our role. Asking the questions, challenging the business and adding value.
Do accountants tend to attach themselves to a firm or organisation to then push them through their exams?
My experience, I would say the two paths are you go to industry or you go through an accounting practice.
Yeah, and what are the differences between those two paths?
So I followed the industry path, and that's focused on management accounts, and an auditor in an accounting practice would be a different path because it's a little bit more specific and focusing on lots of different companies, whereas I just had one company and I just had to worry about the financial statements of one company.
Tell us your perspective on the support, the study packages out there for students.
There's definitely a range, and it's definitely based on the individual manager in the individual company, which maybe is a good thing, maybe is a bad thing. If a manager hasn't thought about study support, then the qualifying accountant may have to put a business case forward and ask for it themselves. I worked in a few companies where I had different levels of training agreements and study support packages. There's room for improvement in businesses for that.
And what would those improvements look like? What do you feel is needed?
I feel if a company could just think outside the box a little bit and think, I could grow this individual ambitious qualifying accountant. If I give them an extra little piece of support and value, the value that they could give back to me is really, really worth it. So give them a few extra days off for their study leave and yeah, it will come back to you in return.
When I talk to accounting firms and ask them what their challenge is with growing, they all say getting the right people and getting the right staff. And we're hearing more and more that accounting firms are recruiting A-level students and putting them through degrees and getting them to them a lot earlier. Are you seeing a bit of that?
Yes, definitely. It is about the people, but it's also about how you grow that person and what journey that you want them to take alongside their exam qualification. I've taken on a finance apprentice recently. It's her first office job. She's going through her AAT, and we definitely wanted that level of a blank canvas so that we could mould her the way it works for our business.
I suppose I have to ask you, as a woman in accounting, do you feel it's any, and I've got to be careful asking the question, but do you feel it's any more difficult for women to be qualified and be successful in the profession?
I have to admit, yes, on that one. Yeah. From my experience, I know that I've worked with many, many males. One of my jobs, I was a senior manager. There was 8 senior managers and I was the only female and the only one under 40 in my senior management team.
Wow.
And I love that. I was that person. And we need more females to take up senior finance positions and to finish their qualifications and not just settle in the corner for some junior admin, junior accounting role. You can have the head of finance roles, ladies. So I want you to focus on that. We can do anything we want. And the qualification gives you such a step up to that. It's how you positively word that where you want to be.
Were you mentored when you took your exams at any point, Helen?
While I was taking my exams, probably not, and definitely not as much as I wanted. I would ask my finance directors for more help and support because they are a step up. They have had so much more experience and I would have valued so much more help and support. So it is limited and it is based on a specific tutor or a specific manager that you have. I would have loved more, definitely.
Why didn't they?
I think people just get lost in the day-to-day and their week. And obviously I know how busy these people are, the senior finance level, but it's about the bigger picture. And I just think they didn't see that. They're not able to step out of that because it's all about this week. Oh my God, my to-do list, I've got 45 things on it.
Yeah.
But if they could just put me or an ambitious qualifying accountant more into that picture, then that would benefit everybody.
Yeah. So an accounting student, if you like, that wants to get qualified and is in a firm or a business, What are the first steps in reaching out and getting a mentor or a coach?
First steps would definitely be to speak to your tuition provider. As an accounting coach myself, I know that there's not many of us. So reach out to me. I'm here. I'm here now. I'm not going anywhere. Speak to your manager at work. That would be a point of contact. But you have to trust them and respect them, which I know doesn't always happen. Speak to your tuition providers or reach out to me.
And in the firm or the organisation, I guess it's a big culture thing as well, isn't it? Because some companies are much better at nurturing talent than others.
Yeah, definitely. Again, it's based on the strategy of the company and the individual manager. If they've mentored before and they can see the value in it, then they will always have that kind of bone in their body and thought process. But if you haven't done it before, do understand that it's super easy, and an accountant, a qualifying accountant, would value it so much.
How do you support qualifiers that are failing their exams?
So I have a lot of experience in this personally.
And it's probably great that you have, because you can speak into this situation with some credibility, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. So I have an assistant at work, and she had failed some exams last year. And I was just honest and said, yeah, don't worry, I failed some of my exams too. And look where I am. And she genuinely said, like, that's so good. I'm so glad you said that, because not many people admit that they failed exams. And it's all just about the pass. And look at me, you know, I've got 99%. How you can specifically support somebody who's failing their exams is give them a helping hand, give them a framework and a recovery plan, which aligns work and their study together for value for them and for you. If they fail an exam, they're obviously struggling in some areas. So identify and work with them to figure out what they are and what you can really do as a business to help them.
And as a coach and mentor, how much does that involve from you? Is it a weekly thing, a monthly thing, or as and when you're required?
So with my team in my 9 to 5, I mentor once an hour every month, and they know that's their mentoring session with me, and they can bring anything they want to the table. So then they've got an opportunity to grow and learn in the whole year. It's not sporadic. It's fixed and structured for a reason. For my clients, I have hourly slots every week, and I support them on a weekly basis leading up to their exams.
And who drives that, Helen? Do you come to the table with an agenda and say, today we're going to cover this, or do they come to you and say, I'm struggling with this little bit, here we go?
It's open to the bespoke person, and I make it as bespoke as I can, because one size doesn't fit all, and that's really important to recognise. But from all my coaching experience, I know if they're struggling with confidence, then I will bring my little toolkit of confidence techniques and coaching exercises. But I will open and lead it and be very approachable, say, what would you like today? If they don't know, then I will put forward a suggestion and we'll go with the coaching exercise for that.
I'm glad you mentioned the word confidence, Helen, because it must be a big part, the mindset. Yes, it's rigorous academically, but you must have seen some really smart people in the past that have failed, and it's more confidence than intellect, isn't it?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Yes. When you're in it, you probably just think it's all about the knowledge and it's all about reading the book and knowing every single word. But the last few months, I've been really focused on talking about half of it's the knowledge base and half of it's the mindset base. You will not pass your exams if you just focus on the knowledge base. You could know all of the words in the study tech, but you might still not pass. If you know most of the words and you feel confident about it, then you've given yourself a better chance to pass.
Yeah. What builds confidence in your eyes?
For the accounting exams specifically, I would say proof of understanding the concept and being able to recall it, which is the marks you give yourself for practice questions. So that's the numbers proof. And obviously we're numbers people, that we're accountants. Other things that just give you confidence, just self-confidence. You have to find it. You have to remember why you started this qualification and keep hold of that and squeeze it and shout about it and be as positive as you can.
Presumably once an accountant qualifies, as we're talking about here, the exams have not ended there. How big are you on continued professional development?
Yeah, it's very important that no accountants are ever put into the corner, especially if they don't want to be. I've had to leave some of my jobs just because I kind of got to the ceiling of where my skill set was. And it's great that I recognise that. The business couldn't provide the senior finance level responsibilities that I wanted. So you have to move on. And if a company doesn't want their qualified accountant to move on, they have to give them reasons to stay, senior responsibility, get them in the right room at the right time, give them a job path to keep them.
Yeah, that's a really good point. It's one thing getting the talent in the first place, but it's another thing keeping them. And we hear stories, don't we, of accountants qualifying and then being chained to a desk for 5 to 10 years, and that's not going to do them any good, is it?
It's not going to do them the best career that they want to. Obviously, some accountants would love just to stay for 10 years in the same company, but I feel like this, the class of what I call an ambitious qualified accountant, wants to move up and up and up and be making strategic decisions. You've spent like 3 to 5 years doing counts over and over and learning and qualifying. You want to do something with that learning, get the next level of proudness and work recognition you can.
And this is all about managing ambitious qualifying accountants, isn't it, to keep them in and keep pushing them on, because these are your partners and leaders of the future.
Yeah, definitely. I think, obviously, again, it's easy for finance directors, head of finances, to forget that. They were there once and they may be 20 years on, but the qualifying accountants in your teams right now are going to be you in 10, 20 years. We definitely need to remember that a bit more. Don't be threatened by it. Don't ignore them and be their role models. They would love you to be their role models so that they can say in 20 years, look at me, I'm head of finance because of my manager.
And you've been super qualified. You're working in industry, working in business. Why is growing the finance team a big priority for organisations?
My finance team perspective is that we are the shared services department. We are the neutral, strong support services department of every company, the value add. We don't provide any sales support. You know, we don't generate any revenue and we cost some money. So let's make sure we're the valuable cost in the business and we help and support everybody. Mm-hmm. We're always going to be there. We're like that pillar, finance pillar, that the more branches into each other function you can get, the stronger the company's going to be. And I love that role. And the stronger you can make that role, the stronger the company's commercial acumen and success and strategy will play out.
You say that and you're absolutely right, but what do you feel is the perception of the finance function outside the finance function in many big organizations?
Oh, the perception is definitely not what we think. yeah, there's obviously loads of names for us, including bean counters and boring, but we do have a role to play. An audit is a very big part of that role, being the gatekeeper. But it's about how you communicate that. The other functions may feel that they're challenged and questioned quite a lot, but genuinely, we've got accounting standards to adhere to and an audit trail in lots of different forms.
Yeah.
And it's difficult for other functions to understand that. So we just need to communicate that, but with reassurance and trust and fun.
That's often the problem, isn't it? That finance people speak financial language, accounting language, but they don't communicate that very well to people outside that function. So it almost seems like a different language entirely.
Yes, you can definitely tell an accountant from a personality test. But I love that. I call myself an oddball accountant. I'm not a typical accountant. I get out into the business. I don't just sit behind my screen. Whereas a lot of accountants like that non-customer facing element. That's why we're in that job. We're data driven. We're numbers people.
But you've got personalities too.
You definitely do.
Without sounding condescending.
I mean, I'm a quirky accountant. That's why I sound so passionate about helping others and coaching.
Yeah.
The data geeks of us, of our accounting world, are so valuable. They can give the information and data to the business, which will provide the value.
This is great, Helen. And if people want to find out more about the great stuff that you're doing and perhaps reach out to you to help them, what's the best way for them to reach you?
So my number one platform is on LinkedIn. So if you want to find me, just search Helen Pretty on LinkedIn. I have a website, which is www.prettysuccessfulcareers.co.uk, and I do a weekly blog on there, so check that out. Lots of free resources. I have a Facebook group. All the information's on LinkedIn on my website.
Yeah, and presumably there'll be many accountants listening that have said, you know, I've qualified, I don't need this, but they will know people coming through as they move up in leadership that could really benefit from your services.
Yes, definitely. I mean, just us sharing our story is powerful to these qualifying accountants, and the more we can reassure them, motivate them and give them confidence, that's super valuable to them. I also help and coach qualified accountants.
And what do you do with them?
I focus on their practical experience log. You won't get your letters without it, and it's as important as your exams. And a lot of people do leave that for years and years, but I don't want you to leave it because I want you to get your letters. So I help and support that. And I also help and focus for you to use your letters in the right way in the job that you love, so that you're not one of those accountants stuck in the corner wishing that you weren't there. So I love to make sure that you are in your dream account. accounting job and living, working up the career ladder.
That's great, Helen. And just in closing, can you give a few encouraging words to perhaps the leaders listening, the people high up in accounting firms that have a role to play in nurturing this talent and mentoring it and coaching others to pass exams and enhance their careers?
So I would definitely love you guys to embrace a qualifying accountant. Remember how you were there once. I know you're busy and I know you're super focused on the strategy or your management meetings and management talk, but these guys really need you. And if you could just give them some time every month and really fit them into your strategy and give them a growth path, they will really be rewarded. You can coach and mentor a qualifying accountant, and the value that they can give while the time they're at your business is really, really great. So give them a chance. Just think outside the box.
Well, Helen Prince, this has been a great insight into the world of accounting qualifications and career management. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me. It's been fun.
You've been listening to Accounting Influencers, the podcast for accounting leaders and influencers who want to know exactly what makes the good firms great and the great accountants world class. For show notes on today's and other episodes, plus some great blogs and resources to help accountants lead, sell, and perform at the highest levels, go to bdacademy.pro. Until next time, have a fantastic day.